Amen. Good morning. So, to our members, I want to remind you, greeting guests is always wise. Angels usually come in disguise. And to our guests, we want to say welcome to you for being here with us today. We are the Maryville Church, and our mission is to make and mature disciples that connect, grow, serve, and share. And we hope that if you're looking for a church home, that you'll spend just a few minutes after our closing prayer today to just hang around. I know it's easy to want to get out real quick and get to the restaurant or get to the places that we want to go, but if you'll just hang around for a few moments, give us the privileged opportunity to get to know you, then hopefully you can make some connections and feel like that, hey, this might be the place that I could call home to. But we're just happy that everybody is here today. Sheep are the most frequently mentioned animals in the Bible. If you include the word flocks, they are mentioned almost 400 times in the Bible. The concept of a shepherd is referenced almost 100 times. And that really makes a lot of sense when you stop to think about it. The nomadic nature of the Hebrew people, particularly at the beginning of the formation of the Jewish nation, was such that they were people that traveled from place to place and watched their flocks as they went. And so the qualities of sheep and shepherds were particularly appropriate in the development of this people, and as Scripture begins to be written and compiled as a metaphor for spiritual realities. In ancient Palestine, sheep were never fenced in. They were free-range grazers on the open pasture. And what that meant was that the sheep, being the dependent creatures that they are, were prone to wander in the open fields and could easily lose their way. They couldn't survive very long in that environment without the tender care of a shepherd. Sheep, you see, need a good shepherd. A shepherd that will show care and compassion. They need a shepherd that will provide protection from the predators that would threaten them on the open plain. They need a shepherd that could lead them to grazing and the nourishment of green pastures. They needed a shepherd that could lead them to the refreshing waters that could quench their thirst. They needed a shepherd that could help them to find the shady places where they could take their rest from the heat of the noonday sun. A shepherd was a guide, a constant companion for the sheep. But it's interesting that shepherds would attract the notice of Almighty God. Because shepherds were the last people in ancient culture that you think that God would take note of. Because they, the shepherds, were the outcast of society. You see, the work of the shepherd demanded that shepherds were almost always unclean. They were in daily contact with dirty, smelly sheep and their manure and the blood and the scrapes and the cuts that sometimes they would have and the insects that buzzed around their heads. You see, shepherds were almost never ceremonially clean enough to be able to worship God with the people. And therefore, they were treated as outsiders. In fact, civilized culture, like the dignified Egyptians we learn in Genesis 46 and verse 34, considered shepherds to be uncouth and vulgar and common folk, not worthy to be in the dignified places of culture. Shepherds were the blue-collar workers of the ancient world, almost akin to modern-day shift workers or truck drivers. You see, shepherds, they lived out in the open fields, and their ultimate concern, more than anything else, was the well-being of their sheep that they lived with 24/7. So it's surprising, you see, that it's the shepherds, these social outcasts, that God would choose to be the leaders of His people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of them shepherds by vocation. God would say of Moses' successor, Joshua, and his leadership in Numbers 27:17, "Lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." King David becomes the shepherd king of his people when in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72, the Scripture says that God chose David, His servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be a shepherd of His people Jacob, of Israel, His inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands He led them. God is so wise. He doesn't think the way that we think. And He doesn't choose the people that we would be inclined to choose. God knows what His people really need. They need a shepherd. Too often in the church today, in the modern church, we tend to search for leaders in the same way that the world does, instead of the way that God does. The main criteria that God would have us to use in identifying leaders among His people is humility. God always chose leaders that were the humblest of spirits. He always chose leaders that first and foremost knew Him deeply. In the world, we tend to look for leaders who show great strength and authority and vibrato, who are outspoken and assertive. But Jesus says in Mark 10 and verse 43, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." It's in keeping with this shepherding image that the Bible often pictures civil and religious leaders as shepherds among the people who are like sheep. But sometimes leaders are bad. And sometimes we see in Scripture religious leaders in Jerusalem being unworthy. The prophet Ezekiel speaks to the religious and civil leaders of ancient Israel in Ezekiel 34, 2 through 5, when he says, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. In the world today, there is a famine of good leadership. I suppose there's always been a shortage of good spiritual leaders. But it is in great humility of spirit that Jesus Christ emerges as the premier example of a good shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I call my sheep by name. They trust my voice, and they gladly follow me." You see, sheep, just like many of us as people, are timid creatures. And when there are sudden moves or loud voices that are heard, we become fearful and scattered. And Jesus, the Creator, doesn't descend upon this earth with booming voice and with flashes of lightning and thunder. He comes among the sheep of His pasture as a humble shepherd, gently laying down His life for His sheep. And the sheep know His voice, and they come in, and they come out, and they find pasture. Because Jesus is the real spiritual leader that we should all gladly want to follow. And He is the model that all leaders that would come after Him must follow. Now, as we proceed into the New Testament epistles, we find the same imagery of a shepherd being applied to leaders of the church. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, addresses leaders of the ancient church, and he says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And as you do that, follow the chief shepherd, Jesus, as your example." When Paul addresses leaders from the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he tells them, "Be shepherds of the church of God," Acts 20 and verse 28. Now, in both of these passages, Peter in 1 Peter 5, Paul in Acts chapter 20, in both of them, there are three words that are used to describe these leaders. The first term in the original language is presbyteros. This word simply means older ones who lead because of their experience. The emphasis is not so much on chronology as it is upon life experience. It's not necessarily an older man, but really the word is communicating someone who has more experience than the ones with whom he is compared. We often translate presbyteros as elder. The word is communicating, here is an individual who, as Eugene Peterson has once said, has lived a life, a long life of obedience in the same direction. Here is an individual whose life experience demonstrates great spiritual wisdom. Someone to whom we take note of when we're going through difficult times of life and we need rich advice A presbyteros is a spiritual mentor figure. The second term is poimeno. This word literally means a shepherd and is often translated that way. It is one who provides nourishment and care for the sheep. Now, the other word in English that is used to translate poimeno, other than shepherd, is pastor. Now, the modern church today often uses this term to refer to a single leader, normally the preacher in a church. But in both of these examples in the New Testament, both in 1 Peter 5 and in Acts 20, in the context, poimeno is not used of a single individual, but rather of a group of leaders in a congregation. The shepherds, the pastors, they are trusted spiritual directors, voices that the sheep listen to and gladly follow because they can be trusted to be taken to healthy places of nourishment and refreshment and rest for your soul. The third term, episkopos. That word literally means a guide or a caretaker or a leader and is translated in most English versions of the Bible as bishop or overseer. Now, this position is one of servant leadership. Literally, it means the leader is a navigator for the church. He has a clearly defined vision of who God's people should be and where we should go on our mission to be disciple makers for Jesus. He has a clear balance between, yes, being protective of the flock, at the same time taking the flock on a direction of mission. He knows how to be able to distinguish between the immovable essentials of faith and where we can adapt and be flexible to move forward to make a difference of kingdom impact in our world. These are the church leaders, the elders, pastors, overseers, the mentors, the directors, the navigators for the direction of God's people today. I think what we need is a modern day example of just what does this look like. And one of the best examples that I've ever come across that I've shared on previous occasions, I'd share with you again now, is an example found in Lynn Anderson's book, They Smell Like Sheep. And in that book, he gives this example. Many young parents feel a compelling need for Christian parenting mentors. Bert and Sarah are two lovely Christians whose testimony is refreshing, but both of them grew up in acutely dysfunctional families. Bert himself being a recovering alcoholic and an adult child of an alcoholic. Bert and Sarah say that one of the richest treasures they have found in the church is the model of healthy Christian families. Bert and Sarah explained, "We never saw how a Christian family or even a normal family functions, and now as we rear our children, we need spiritual family mentors." In today's world, marked by chaotic and broken families, more and more people will need intentional mentoring by older adults in the extended family of the church if they are to learn healthy ways of doing family. Anderson goes on to note this. I have watched some tender young couples become like Leroy and Jean. Leroy is an elder, a shepherd of a church, but he is also the CEO of a microchip manufacturing company serving Fortune 500 computer firms. Business takes him out of town at least one night a week, often even to Asia or Europe. The church that Leroy shepherds is mostly young, professional, and upwardly mobile, a fast-lane flock. Like Leroy, his flock has only thin slices of what the world calls discretionary time. But for a year or more, each Thursday night, a dozen or so young couples eat dinner at Gene and Leroy's house. Then together they watch filmed sessions on marriage enrichment and parenting skills, followed by discussion and counsel. Mentoring by Leroy and Gene, whose family has long since grown and gone from home. Time investment, 2 to 3 hours a week. Impact, eternal. Leroy and Gene smell like those sheep, and those sheep know the voice of their shepherds. And they've been fed by their hands, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and were led in good directions. A fast-lane flock being mentored by cyber world shepherds. Today's church not only needs models in family, but in many other areas of life as well. We need strong leaders to show us how to handle alcohol, money, sex, stress, temptation, and burnout. We need mentors to show us how to share faith and how to deal with anger, how to show compassion, how to live with disappointment and grief, and how to do a spectrum of Christian services. We have been blessed as the Maryville Church of Christ with a rich history of men who have been willing to be immensely sacrificial and step into roles of leadership over God's people. This church is what it is today, thanks to the investment and the sacrifice of some men and women that have gone before us. Men who have stepped into roles as shepherds, and women who have served alongside of those men as faithful spouses. And today, we benefit from the strength of men that are shepherding this flock. And we continue to benefit from men who have shepherded in the past, but still have tremendous influence, although not in an official role, are still doing shepherding work among us. Men like Art Edwards and men like Roy Gallagher and men like Walter McClanahan and many others that have served in the past but continue to be such a source of strength for this church. But we also have men, some of you that I've spent time with and others of you have as well, who are men of tremendous spiritual richness and wisdom, who this church desperately needs to step into roles of shepherding the flock. We're at a point in time in the history of this church where we're looking, as Jim mentioned at the outset of our worship service today, we're looking for a few good shepherds. We're looking among ourselves for some of the most humble of men who it is abundantly clear have a deep knowledge of Jesus Christ. Men who can be our spiritual mentors. Men who can guide us and direct us and navigate us moving forward. We are not just looking for decision makers. We're looking for spiritual shepherds. So I want to encourage all of us to echo Jim's sentiments. I want to encourage all of us in the next week or so, give not just a cursory, obligatory prayer toward this effort, But I want to encourage us to give concentrated time in prayer and perhaps in fasting over the future of the Maryville Church, over our current shepherds and shepherds that will be being recognized in the months to come. Let us be asking God to guide us and give us insight and direction as men are being raised up as leaders. Let's be praying over people we have in our minds that we see as people of tremendous wisdom that know Jesus deeply. And let's be praying, but before we even have a conversation with them, let's be praying their names before God, that God would place upon them a holy burden of the responsibility that they might have to shepherd God's people, that God would bring conviction and challenge to their hearts and inspiration to their hearts to see this tremendous role that God might have in store for them. God has blessed us as a people, and He continues to do so. And with faith, I believe He's going to continue to bless us richly as we move ahead in the future of the Maryville Church here in this place. And so let's be giving it to God and let God lead us. Let the Holy Spirit lead us as we search for spiritual shepherds among us to be added to the leadership of this gathering of God's people. Will you promise to give yourself to prayer and pray fervently for that? That is your challenge leaving today. Give some special time to it. Mark it on your calendar. Set aside some time to just get alone with God and pray specifically for this. Pray specifically for what God will be doing as we move forward. This morning, let me just tell you, you might be wandering through life feeling a bit lost and aimless yourself. There is no better person to follow as your good shepherd than Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been giving some thought in the past few days or weeks or even years about maybe going all in and giving Jesus a fair hearing and a fair following. Will you this morning decide to just plunge yourself into following Jesus, to count the cost of what it means to live a life filled with purpose and meaning as you follow Jesus as your shepherd? Because I'm going to tell you, there are days in this life when the shadows grow long and we feel aimless and we don't know where to turn for green pastures and still waters. Well, listen, will you let the Lord be your shepherd? And let Him lead you. He will not lead you astray. He'll lead you to the best place you could possibly go. And if we can help you in knowing how to follow His lead, all we would do is just sit down with you and develop relationship and open Scripture and try to direct you toward what the Lord might be saying to you about what it means to follow Him. If we can help you in that way, we'd love to. You can speak with me afterward in the foyer. Maybe you need prayers of this whole gathering. We'd love to just pray together for you. We have shepherds of the flock that will pray with you privately in the library. If you're a member of this flock and you're going through a tough time, make use of these men. That's what they're here for. They'd love to pray with you and give you counsel and advice. If we can help you in any of those ways, or maybe you're ready to give your life to Christ in repentance and baptism, make your need known as we all stand together and as we sing our praise to God.